Good morning and happy Monday to each and every one of you. This is your host, Michelle Price, and on Twitter, at Prosperity Gal. And I'm coming to you from the third coast of Houston, Texas today, where, you know, it has been a really fun ride bringing you information on that inner game, what you do with that mindset to help you achieve the success that you want in your business today, as well as how are you using the skills, the tools, the techniques, the strategies so that you put those two games together and you're equipped for success. If you've tuned in today, you are in for a fantastic show. You know, we've kind of taken the topic of last week and expanded it into a different, flipped it just a tiny bit this week. You know, we talked with Olivier Blanchard and Deb Weinstein and Jonathan Wickman and, of course, our Don Cooper last week, and we were discussing those PR and social media mishaps that have been happening with big and small brands alike. And interestingly enough, one of the things that comes out of conversations like that is when people start dividing their businesses up by sizes and types and start asking what I would call some of the myths of social media. So today, Don Cooper and Andrea Wolf and myself are going to be discussing those myths in social media, especially as they apply to solopreneurs and small businesses. I wanted to take this list and I wanted to just kind of pop it off to you. And I want to ask you this ahead of time so that you're prepared. As you hear me start to share these things, I want you to ask yourself, do any of these apply to me? Have I allowed to believe any of these are true? Which one of these am I most uncomfortable with? So you ready? All right, here we go. Social media is the same for everybody. Social media takes too much time. The learning curve in social media is too steep. It's only for marketing to consumers. Social media allows your customers to complain about you in public. Ugh. Small businesses can't do it as well as big businesses. Oh, don't need to integrate social media with other forms of marketing. You know, social media will provide you with instant returns. Social media is your silver bullet magic fix. Okay, I got sarcastic with that one. Advertising is dead. If you build it, they will come. I got a baseball bat and a glove for you. It is all luck. The traditional rules of marketing don't apply to social media. You know, your posts have got to be funny in social media. And there's only one way to be successful in social media. Companies really have to limit employees' access to social media at work. Social media doesn't work for my industry. Social media is one-way broadcasting. Oh, my God, head to desk. I have a headache already. I haven't done it now. It's too late. Social media won't work for my business. My customers aren't on Twitter. Oh, my goodness. That almost gave me a migraine to read all of those. So, as you can see, people have a lot of questions and myths around social media. And, oh my goodness, when you stop and think about it, we all have a lot of questions. And what I can tell you is that right here today, you've got three business people who for a majority, if not all of our professional lives, have been entrepreneurs, business owners, or solopreneurs. So for those of you who have not met Don Cooper, he is known as the sales heretic. We do get to listen to him the first Monday of every month to give us really great sales advice. And he was the very first breakthrough strategy person that I brought on the show because everyone kept talking about, I need to make more sales. I've got to understand how to do better at sales. And so he was the first one we brought on board like that. And he has been an absolute diamond to the show. Then I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting Andrea Wall. Now, she actually is in business with her husband, and they've got this fabulous book and a whole series of training, and they speak around the country on go for no. And so she is constantly being really wonderful about helping us be thinking about how we hold ourselves back and then what we can do to actually get through the no's that surface in life and change our perspective on that. So I want to ask you to please join me as I bring on Don Cooper and Andrea Walsh, and we're just going to start talking about what are those myths in social media. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to start off, if I can, with Andrea, because I grew up in the South and we always do ladies first. And I wanted to ask her, you know, you've had a small business for many years now, Andrea. What have you seen for your business since you've become active in the social media space? How are you noticing that you're able to kind of integrate the different mindset, the different actions, and the different thinking that it's taken for you to use social media?
Hey, Michelle. Thanks for having me on today.
Thanks for coming, Andrea.
Well, I love the question, and I have to say that, you know, I've been in the social media space now for a few years. As a matter of fact, I was kind of shocked to discover that my Twitter anniversary is coming up on 4 years, which I could hardly believe. And so I've kind of taken on, you know, each different social media platform that has resonated with me a little bit one at a time. But, you know, I started in my business years ago before there was social media. And even with my business, with my website, I wanted to create, I guess what you'd call a world where when somebody came to the website, they knew very clearly the problem we were trying to solve for them and what it is that we did. And so for me, in the social media space, it was really about extending that mindset of I really want to set a tone and create a brand, if you will, and a messaging that people very clearly understand what problem I'm trying to solve and, you know, how I can help them. And so that is really my thought process that permeates everything that I do. So whether it's Twitter or as I've joined LinkedIn and then as I created a Facebook page and then Pinterest and Google Plus, you know, on and on and on, it's like you just start layering in all of these different, you know, platforms. My mindset has always been that whether they engage with me in one, just one or all, that the messaging is there. And so really for me, it's about having been consistent and creating, I guess, what I like to call a world, meaning for us, it's a go for no world where we teach people how to overcome, you know, fear of hearing no. So if they're on Twitter and I'm tweeting, that's what they see. That's what they get. They see tweets about being courageous. They see inspirational things. If they're on the Facebook page, they get that same feeling. Even on LinkedIn, they see that messaging. And so I think that consistency is really important. And that really all comes down to, what are you trying to create for people? And that's what I've been able to do so that people have a really clear understanding of who they're engaging with, no matter the platform.
I'd be curious, of all the different platforms, which one did you have the most resistance to, and what did you do to get past that no?
That's a great question. I probably have had the most resistance to and still don't engage with some of the more, I guess it's the things that don't allow me to really express the messages that I want to get out. So, for example, one of the things that I've just never engaged with at all is Foursquare. And quite frankly, I don't really know a lot about that. But to me, you know, I want to make sure that I'm sending out messages and listen to what people are saying and talking about. And so everything that I do is kind of about that back and forth communication and that ability to go back and forth. And so, that's just one that just popped into my head where it doesn't work with the brand. It doesn't work with what I'm trying to create because it's kind of, for me, irrelevant. Now, I see people who are maybe trying to express more of a lifestyle, and so that could be where they go and what they do and where they check in could be very important. It's just not one that I've adopted in any way.
Well, and that's interesting that you bring that one up because I tried playing with that, working with that one as well. And I found as much as some of my brand is a little bit about lifestyle, where I'm meeting, what I'm doing with people, another part of me was a little uncomfortable, especially after I had Angela Daffron on and we were talking about some safety issues, especially as it surrounds women in locations. And so that one I just kind of turned off and said, there's too many opportunities for this one to have a downside to it. And there's so many other areas that I can connect with people that it's not really necessary for me to be playing in that space.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I know that Dawn has got to be chomping at the bit here because one of the very same question, Dawn, which one of the social platforms did you find yourself being at the most resistance to, why, and what did you do to get over it? I'm looking forward to hearing this.
Well, ironically, the platform that I was most resistant to is now the one that I'm best at, which is Twitter. Because when I first heard about Twitter and was learning about it, it didn't make any sense to me. I didn't see the point to it. This was fairly early in Twitter's existence, and people literally were updating what they're having for lunch and, that they're going to the spa or whatever. Little trivial things about their days, which, call me crazy, I don't care about. I don't care what you're having for lunch. Unless I'm eating with you, it's not a big deal to me. And it seemed to me just so much white noise. And I couldn't see the opportunity. I didn't see any purpose in it. So I resisted it for 6 months or a year. I just didn't check it out really, didn't explore, didn't think about it. And it wasn't until another speaker clued me in terms of how she was using Twitter to broadcast information and using that to grow her audience of people that could conceivably hire her to come speak at an event, that I realized this actually had potential as a marketing tool and started to really then learn about it, learn how to use it and how to maximize it. And I wish now that I had checked it out a lot earlier, because I would have been even further along than I am now.
Which is a really interesting point, and it's something that I hear a lot of people talk about, and we've discussed it as being a myth, and that is a lot of people feel like if they haven't gotten on it because they've heard it, they've read it in blog posts, they've seen people talk about it, if they haven't gotten involved in Twitter now, that it's too late. Now, do you guys believe that?
No. No, it's never too late.
No, it's not too late in any way. And quite frankly, I don't see Twitter going anywhere. I think it is firmly ensconced in, when you see news media and entertainment and music and every facet of communication in today's society, every single facet is using it. I don't know what things will develop and be created in 20 years, but it's certainly, you can't play out 20 years from now, but it's certainly in the short term, within the next few years, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, there's no reason to not do it. Yeah, you're a little behind the curve if you haven't started yet, but you can catch up. And if you keep on waiting, then you'll just get further behind. So why not start now?
Well, and I think that brings up some really good questions, Dawn, because a lot of times what happens is people will look at what others have accomplished, and they feel like they have to be able to do that right out the gate. And I don't understand where that thinking comes from, because I've watched it over and over again, because Twitter was my first baby other than the blog. Of course, to me, the mothership, your blog, your home base, the place you actually own, should always be your the root and the platform, home base, whatever cool word you want to use for it, of your brand. Yet I notice a lot of times people feel like they've got to be able to pop out of the gate like they're Stephen Fry or something. And I'm like, where did that thinking come from? Andrea, does that have anything to do with that natural resistance people have to the whole no thing?
Yeah, I think there's a natural resistance to all of this, you know, lately with all of the different technologies that are out there and different apps and things that are popping up, you know, and we've seen it, you know, we've seen the transition even with something like MySpace, which was so big and got so popular and then kind of, you know, very quickly died away. And so I think people are really hesitant to join anything. And of course, you know, going back to our social media myths, you know, people assume it's a waste of time. They've got some preconceived notions, like even Don admits he had, and they're not really thinking forward in terms of, you know, trying things out, and a lot of people are just, there's a little bit of fear there, Michelle. It's just, and some of it's legitimate. I understand that. You can't join every little, you know, possible nook and cranny all over the place, because there are a lot of platforms out there, but there are the big ones, and they are important, and I think there's just fear on the part of people in terms of, you know, maybe it's putting themselves out there, a little bit of, you know, fear of feeling stupid because they feel like they're going to waste their time. And that's just something that as a business owner, I think if you have anything that you're trying to sell, promote, get the word out about, promotion is one of your highest value activities.
You know, Don, Andrea said something in that I think is real important for us to bring into the discussion, and that is that statement that sometimes just really gets my goat when people tell themselves the lie of they don't have time to learn or do something new or different.
Yeah, that's just a self-imposed limiting belief. You have time for whatever you choose to make time for. And if it's important to you, you will make time to do it. And as Stephanie mentioned earlier, you don't have to do everything yourself. You can hire people. You can farm stuff out. There are always solutions. The question to ask yourself is, how can I do this? Not should I do this, but how can I do this? Asking the right questions will help you arrive at the right answers.
Now, you know what I'm going to want to add to that? I think they might want to back up and just say, why do I need to do this? Because I've discovered a lot of times if people really have a strong why and they understand how it benefits what they're trying to accomplish, they're much more likely to have the kind of follow-through that they need with it. So let's play with that for a little bit. Why are you involved in social media as a speaker and a trainer, and what helps keep you focused, Don?
Well, I'm involved with it because it enables me to spread my message and to build my potential audience. I am a sales expert, and I make my living by speaking, training, coaching, consulting on how to increase sales. So the more people who know about that, the more people can potentially hire me, and the greater the potential for selling books and audio programs and so on. So social media is a way for me to expand my reach, to get my ideas as well as my name out to a lot more people.
What about you, Andrea? What is your why?
You know, my why is very similar. Same thing. It's to get out that messaging. And it's also, Michelle, too, I think there's a feeling about, especially these days with social media, that you want people to be, you want to feel like you're getting a great provider, you know, of a service. And when you see that someone is out there and engaged, it's almost, to me, social media is it's like a confirmation of someone's expertise. That's how I look at it.
I feel like
if I'm looking at a carpet cleaning service, and I see that, you know, oh, wow, they have a Facebook page, and they don't need to have 3 million fans if it's a local carpet cleaning service. I get it. But if they're posting some tips or some content, and I feel like they're engaged with their customers, or they're on Twitter or both, and they're somewhat engaged with their community and their customers, I feel like, you know what, this is not just the, quote, fly-by-night, you know, carpet cleaning service. This is someone who cares about their business. They're engaged with their customers and their prospects, and they are doing what I am trying to do, which is I want people to have that feeling like, wow, if I need this problem solved, which is this, you know, fear of no, this is the girl. I mean, she's here, she's there, she's in her messaging is consistent. It's that confirmation. And so I think for me, it's I want people to feel that ultimate confidence that I'm just not, you know, not trying to get the business and run. It's you can engage with me in all these different ways, and you can get a lot from my content without even having to pay. You know, in other words, I want to try to create that value and that content so that people feel like, wow, this person is worthwhile. And again, it goes back to that confirmation of our expertise.
Absolutely.
You know what?
It's a way to build trust as well as getting your name out there, because advertising and other forms of marketing can get your name out there, but advertising does not do a good job of building trust. Social media, one of the biggest strengths of social media is that it enables you to build trust with people before they ever pick up the phone or pop up their email to contact you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, one of the things that popped up or I heard in what Andrea was just sharing now, Dawn, was it's also a great way for people to be able to test drive us. They get an opportunity to test drive with us, which kind of ties into what I was going to say as well, is it starts to build that rapport, and as rapport is built, trust starts evolving from that. And isn't that one of the key things that we're always looking to do when we're trying to build sales for our business?
Yes, absolutely.
The other thing that I noticed, Andrea and Dawn, is that learning a new skill has got two different components that's really different in the social space, and that is in the social space, you've got to learn how to communicate with different behaviors for each platform, because those spaces already have mores and norms, and so what might be acceptable in LinkedIn is not acceptable in Facebook, and people won't respond to you. What were some of the things that you guys learned going from one platform to another that was a little bit of a learning curve for yourselves?
One of the things that I learned pretty quickly was, you know, in LinkedIn, it's very much about connections, and it's just a little less casual, I felt, than and I just gathered that from how they structured it from the beginning, which is when you try to connect with someone, it's like you're in a group with them, you worked with them in the past, you're a friend. If you're a friend, you know you have to have their email address. So they've put some things in place to make it, you know, a lot less casual. It's a lot more about, you know, developing those connections, which lead to business. Whereas in Twitter, I just learned that it's a lot more chaotic and free-flowing and fun, and I could see that I could read a conversation or something that was going on in the Twitter stream and literally butt in and, you know, retweet something or tweet back to the two people who are having the conversation my thought or my feedback, and that it wouldn't be seen as, you know, jumping in or anything rude. It's so much more about having fun and having conversations. And I think that when I have my Twitter hat on, it's my fun hat. And when I have my LinkedIn hat on, it's a lot more strategic and a lot more pre-planned and a lot more careful, I guess.
Well, and that's a really great analogy, because one of the things that I found for myself is because I came from the Twitter space first, that when I went into the other ones, I was much more conscious of paying attention to how people responded, how people were interacting. It was just in the forefront of my mind. And maybe because at the time I was also doing a lot of speaking around social behavior. So maybe it was because I was more conscious of it. I'd be curious to ask our listeners who are using the hashtag, what are some of the behaviors that you noticed from one platform to the other? Where are you noticing people disengaging or not paying attention when, say, for example, you're in Twitter and you may talk one way versus trying to have that same conversation in LinkedIn? So I'm going to allow them to pop that up while we transition to another one of the myths that's on our list, and that is, I think, a really scary one. And to me, it's probably the biggest myth or the biggest lie. I want to call this one a lie. I'm not even going to call this a myth. And I've talked about it from the very beginning of the show. I mean, the original show, we talked about this. And that is, small businesses can't do it as well as big business. And I'm sitting here going, oh, my God, head to desk, big headache. This is so opposite of what I believe. But what are your thoughts around this question, Andrea, and how small businesses can maybe lean into this big no they're telling themselves?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because, of course, big business can have a social media department and all kinds of people on it, and I know some of them do, and some of them I'm still shocked that they don't. Small business, though, has flexibility, and, of course, the great thing about social media is it's a 24-hour platform. So, you know, it's not about having a customer service, you know, rep on the phone from 9 to 5. That's not what you're being asked, but it is about being flexible and you know, being able to engage with people even if they purchase something from you or had an issue, even if it's 24 hours later. Small business can turn on a dime to fix those things, and they're kind of closer to the ground on a lot of that than, you know, big business. I think the other thing is that it gives you a chance to really meet the business owners or people who work in the business. And so, it comes back to that trust factor and that engagement factor of, wow, these people are actually here for me. They're committed to their business. They're interested in making sure that their customers are happy and satisfied. And so I feel like actually small business owners have the edge. Now, the challenge is what they have to do is they have to keep a couple things in mind. What problem am I trying to solve? Where are those people, and how can I help them? So, I mean, I don't care if it's cupcakes. Get on these platforms and start learning everything that you can and find out who's talking about cupcakes, who needs cupcakes, who wants cupcakes, what kinds do they want, and start listening to all the talk out there, and then start using that to your advantage and start sharing some of your own, whether it's coupons or whatever. It's just about listening first and then taking that and turning on it. And again, small business has the flexibility to do that.
What about you, Don?
I agree 100%. I think this idea that big business has an advantage and small business can't use it effectively is simply an excuse. It's a lie we tell ourselves. And human beings are unlimited in their capacity to rationalize things. So that's just an excuse that a lot of small business owners use to justify why they're not doing it. Because really it comes down to fear. They're afraid of doing it, some of the reasons that Andrea mentioned. And so it's just easier not to do it, and it's easier to come up with a lie to tell ourselves, and we buy into that, and it just makes our lives easier. The problem is, it doesn't make our business easier. Because Andrea's right, there are advantages all businesses have. You can experiment more. You can take more chances. You don't need to follow a really strict corporate code. You can play around and see what works and you know, try things out for yourself. You can move a lot faster.
You know, interestingly enough, when I think about the different sized businesses and the people that I've talked to through their social channels, one of the disadvantages that big businesses have, and we've actually talked about it on the show, I've experienced it, is, for example, with Comcast. So, you know, Frank Elysian did a great job of doing something that no one had done before, and that was handling customer service through Twitter. And that's one of the areas that people are the most scared about dealing with complaints online. And I'm going, why? How would you handle it in person? And they go, well, I do blankety blank. You know, I would talk to them about it and ask them those questions and find out, you know, what was really bothering them. And they go into this whole process, and I go, and so there's a way for you to actually engage or start that conversation on Twitter to show people that you are extremely attentive to keeping your customers happy. And now you just got validated for being proactive. And then a little flip, and a switch flips in their head, and they go, well, I never thought about it that way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because people are going to complain online anyway, whether or not you're involved in the discussion. So why not get involved? And when you can resolve a customer's problem online in public, then your other customers, as well as your prospects, get to see what kind of a company you are. They can see, okay, this is a company that takes responsibility and that makes to work things right with their customers. That's the kind of company I want to do business with.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that I see that big business is at a disadvantage is something that Andrea kind of alluded to that I think a lot of times small businesses don't think about, and that is when a big company has, you know, a specific person or a team in charge of their social media, you're having a conversation with, depending on how big they are, 1 to 4 or 5 people. And when it's time for you to actually get specific answers, it means you have to get passed off or sent, you know, to the person who can help you with that. Whereas if you're talking to a solopreneur or a small business, more than likely you are talking to the decision maker. And, oh, my gosh, doesn't that feel so much better to not have to go through the whole song and dance all over again with someone new inside of a larger organization where you feel like you're just being passed around like a pork chop?
Sure.
Right. Well, Michelle, and I want to point something out here, which I think is really important, and it has to do with this whole, I don't want to call it a game, but I will call it a game, and it has to do with how we come across and how social media has broken down some of those, quote, corporate barriers. And what I mean is this. I think old school 20 years ago or whatever, you know, you'd type up a marketing brochure and it would say, Don Cooper is, you know, a leading sales expert, a speaker who can coach, who can help your people turn around their sales, right? And it's all kind of third person, and it's all about Don. And that's all, I think, how marketing used to be done. It was, everything was third person. Very much, it kind of goes back to our advertising commercial, or our advertising conversation that we talked about. Whereas today, it's a lot more, you know, even in LinkedIn, I see people with kind of third person profiles and things that are very standoffish. And I think that social media has broken down a lot of those barriers. And so it's not just Don Cooper does this. It's Don Cooper's on Twitter, and it is Don Cooper. You're actually interacting with Don Cooper or Michelle Price. And so it has changed. I mean, you can, not that you'd get a response, but you could write Donald Trump. You can, these barriers have changed. And so I think I've seen, you know, the big companies, they haven't done a great job of taking down some of those barriers and personalizing some of those things. I've seen some interesting things even on Twitter, and I'll just share this with you guys. There was a company that I'm always tweeting. I know, Don, it makes you a little crazy, but I do admit I tweet about food because I'm obsessed with eating. So, but it was funny because I tweeted about this company, and I thought for sure that they would write me back and say something back to me. But they didn't write me back personally, but they tweeted out that they got nice feedback. And I just felt this kind of distance, like this kind of corporate line. And so I think that's one of the mistakes that people make, is maybe even the solopreneur feels like they've got to come across as this, like a big company would, but it's so different now with social media. There are no walls. Everyone is so much more accessible. I think that's a big part of what social media gives users and gives all of us.
Absolutely. You know, what whenever I get really good service, I will tweet that because I believe the companies that do a good job should get recognized. So if my plane arrived early, I'll tweet that. If I get good service at a restaurant, I'll tweet that. I was at Enterprise Rental Car one time, and they gave me just outstanding service, and I tweeted that. And within a few hours, I got a tweet back from somebody at Enterprise Corporate Headquarters personally saying, hey, thank you so much for the shout-out. We're really glad that you had a terrific experience, and thank you for mentioning us. And that made me feel great in return. So here's this two-way conversation that is extremely positive and helps everybody out.
Well, and I love that you gave that example, Don, because, Andrew, you're right. I don't understand where it comes from or why some people are using social media and still forgetting that it really is about talking to the individual and everyone else is happy to just listen. And it's something that I share even on the radio show, you guys probably hear me say as well, when you connect with someone, when you're giving a thanks or a validation, don't give it to them in a DM. Give it to them in public. If they gave you a referral, why are you not thanking them in public?
Here's one of the key differences between social media and traditional marketing. And while there are some similarities, there are also some key differences. The biggest single difference with social media is that it is social. And it's one of the reasons why it has grown the way it has. It's because human beings are social. We're social creatures. We need our social interaction. So these different platforms feed that desire we have to communicate, to share, to talk, to listen, to be heard. So the more you as a company engage with me, the happier I am going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And the more you'll tell other people and so on and so forth.
Well,
looking for connections. We're all looking for relationships. We're all looking for validation. And that's where social media gives you an extremely powerful tool. And it doesn't matter how big you are. You can use it just as well.
One of the questions that we've got, and thank you, Garrick, that's a really great point to bring up. And he says that we always smile in public. How do you tweet to corporate when one of the employees is failing in customer service? What are your guys' thoughts on that one?
I told you, I tweet when a company gives me great service. I also tweet when I get lousy service. If I'm in a line with 10 people and there's one person behind the counter, I will tweet that with the company name. If a plane is really, really late and there's no good reason or there's no explanation, I will tweet that. So I will make it a point to highlight fails on the part of companies. And that's something that companies need to be aware of, to look for those things and use that as customer feedback.
So, yeah, this actually brings up an interesting point. So I want to kind of jump into that before you answer, Andrea, because mm-hmm. I think you're probably going to be pretty similar to what Don said anyway, and that mm-hmm. is, let's talk about this from the small business or the solopreneur perspective. Now, most people, when they're having, for example, a flight delay, we're used to seeing people tweet frustration against anybody from, you know, who cares, Continental, U.S., American, once in a while even Southwest. How would you respond to, if you were on stage, because I know someone this actually happened to, you were on stage and you were giving a presentation and then you get off stage and you see that someone was actually tweeting about something they didn't like about what you were presenting while you were on stage?
That actually happened to me, and it's really interesting because how it happened was it wasn't even tweeted directly to me, but I had, and it's so funny, Michelle, because, I mean, you know, especially when you're a speaker, I mean, you want to have a great presentation all the time, and so I always search and see, you know, if anybody is talking about our topic or any of that, and I saw this negative comment, and I had a couple different choices. My choice was to write back and somehow defend myself or to not respond at all. And my first thought was, wow, I shouldn't respond to at all. My other thought was, well, you know, this person obviously, I mean, they have their complete right to their opinion, and people share all the time about negative experiences. And if it was negative, you know, that doesn't make me happy, but it's the person's opinion. So I decided in that moment, I just wrote back a very nice tweet, and I said, really sorry to hear that you didn't enjoy the presentation. And that was it. And I didn't get a response or anything. I don't know what the person thought, didn't know what their, you know, opinion was of me, if that enhanced their opinion, or maybe it didn't change anything. But I felt, at least for myself, that, you know, I use Twitter big time as a listening device. And, you know, one of my role models actually has been Gary Vaynerchuk. He's excellent at listening. I mean, he jokes about the whole time thing, and he tells people, get over the time thing. He said, I'm on social media so much until my eyes bleed, because he believes in it and he knows how important it is. And so I thought, you know, yeah, I don't operate like Gary Vaynerchuk, but he listens, and he's a role model because he has people who have said negative things, and he nips it in the bud. And, you know, all you can do is say, gee, sorry about that. I mean, you know, you can't necessarily solve the problem, but I think hiding from it or pretending it doesn't exist is not the way to go. The way to go is just to face up to it and just apologize and try to fix it if there is something that you can do.
You know, one of the things I've discovered when that happens, and I'd be curious to hear if Don, what he's done with this as well, is I always find it easier, instead of saying I'm sorry, because sometimes I'm not, sometimes I feel like they're out of line, or asking, or, you know, going into the defense mode, I find it much simpler just to ask them a really simple question. Tell me, what did you mean by that? Or I'm curious, I'm not understanding what you meant by that. And I find that it does two things. One, it allows them to be real with you so that you're getting valuable feedback and not just someone who wants to, you know, be a troll and give you a hard time. And two, it shows people that you're willing to listen, and you realize that, you know, sometimes your shit does smell.
Well, exactly. And this gets back to that myth about social media being for one-way communication. This is a way, again, to engage people and create a solution to a problem you might not have even known about, and a way to improve your products and your services. That's one of the big benefits of social media, is that it enables you to have a dialogue. It enables you to get more information with which you can make better decisions.
There's an area that I notice that people tend to lean on quite a bit when it comes to social media that I feel like is real important for us to address, and it in two different myths on our list. So I'll mention both of them, and then I'll share my thought about it, and then I'd love to hear what's been your experiences. And that is the one about how social media can provide instant results. And then the others that it's like a silver bullet or a magic fix. Now, there are times it can provide instant results. But I think what happens is when people expect everything they do to go viral, when they expect everything they produce to get a million whatevers, when they expect, you know, to be able to turn their sales around because now they're using social media and people are just now starting to get to know who they are, that the commonality in there was everything around the word expect.
We have high expectations. You could call them ludicrous expectations. We all want a magic lamp with a genie inside. Everybody is looking for the one secret, the big reveal, the magic wand that'll solve all their problems instantly. And people will look at some company that had some success with a social media effort and say, oh, wow, that's so easy. I'll do that, and I'll get the exact same results, and it'll be perfect, and I'll solve all my problems. And that doesn't work that way. They don't see everything that went behind the scenes to create that project and all the failures that company had with their previous efforts that led to that one success. And sometimes there is some serendipity, you know. One of the myths is it's all luck. And, well, no, it's not all luck, but luck does play a factor. You know, there are things that have gone viral that would not have in years past. And there are things, because of the way social media has grown, it's both easier and harder to go viral these days. It's easier because there's more people sharing, but harder because there's more things competing for people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to make your expectations realistic rather than think that this is going to solve all of your problems instantly.
Yeah, I agree with that, and it really is. You're right, Don. I mean, it's like the hope, the magic bullet, and the what's the ROI, and how fast, and better be easy, and all of this kind of stuff, and it really goes back to managing those expectations. And I guess, Michelle, we kind of went back and forth today on the why question and the how, and I agree with Don. It's how am I going to use social media, really get your brain, to work on it. But also the why question does go to this expectation. And, the whole thing is are you going to be in business 5 years from now? What's going to happen if Twitter and all of these different platforms, if they morph, as they change, perhaps a couple will fall to the wayside, or they'll just change and shift into something that's unrecognizable to us 10 years from now, but we're in generation number one or two right now. You got to get in now, because what happens is that you've got almost a baseline of knowledge. And what I've seen in my own life and my own business is there's this intuitiveness that you learn by being and engaging in some of these different platforms. And the longer that you stay away from these platforms, the harder it's going to be to get on the next platform and the next one. And this, if you're a business owner in any way, this is just going to continue to grow and expand and shift and morph. And it's just like trying to teach somebody who's never used a telephone how to Skype. Having the telephone knowledge helps you translate it to Skype. So you've got to get in this and get your hands a little bit dirty and get some experience, because it's all going to build on for your future of your business.
Well, you bring up some really great points, Andrea, in one arena where I find people will use, for example, platforms or something like MySpace, making its changes, its morphs. They use it as an excuse to not participate. They go, well, look what happened in MySpace. Why would I want to spend or put any energy toward doing anything in Facebook or LinkedIn when it could not be there tomorrow?
Yeah, and that's true. And I think we've seen, though, that now with the amount of time that some of these platforms, they're going to morph and change. And without knowing how or what or where, some of them might go away and they'll be replaced with new ones. But again, it's getting that baseline of knowledge and getting that and learning and making those connections in your brain of how these things work. Because I think at a fundamental level, making connections, whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter, that's kind of that underlying thread through all of them. And it's being able to communicate with people and engage people. And there is a certain experience that you get, just like you learned how to go to a party and chit-chat with people. The first time you go, you're terrified, and then you go to a couple more and you feel a little bit more comfortable that you can start a conversation with people. Well, you've got to learn how to start that conversation in these spaces.
Hearing you say that is kind of making me chuckle, because I'm sitting over here and I'm thinking about how the introverts don't usually like to do chit-chat at a party. But the people who've really mastered social media well originally are the introverts. I mean, I could name off dozens of them who technically are introverts, and they have blossomed in social media. But it also brings up that question of, are people being real in a social space, or are they just putting on a front? And I sent Don a text. I have a feeling he's probably answering that question right now. How are you noticing, helping people understand how to shift into some of those internal no's, depending on whether they're extrovert or introverts, and what's been helpful for them in the social media space?
Well, I think one of the things is that you know, it's not all about, again, it's going back to that, it's not all about talking. It's, you have to have some listening. And I would love to know Don's opinion on this as well. You know, I think you have to integrate your personality. And for some people, it's, you know, it's like me, it's food and animals and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And for some other people, it's tapping into whatever passion that you have so that people get to know a little bit more about you that's not just all business. And I think that's part of the connection. And it's a little safer in social media. You know, you're whether, you know, unless you're talking about YouTube, which is a whole other conversation about, you know, being able to get on camera and all of that, which can make people really freaked out. But it's, you're kind of behind that veil, and so you do have a little bit more protection. I think that's why introverts have gravitated toward that, is it's a medium where they can finally let out their thoughts and feelings, but in a safer way.
Yeah, Andrew, you're absolutely right about letting your personality through, and that's one of the benefits of having your Facebook page, your LinkedIn page, your Twitter page, is you can be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really leverage your personality. Have either of you seen Alton Brown's Twitter feed?
No, I don't think so.
For anybody who doesn't know, Alton Brown is one of the personalities on the Food Network. He's got his own show, and he's done some other specials, and he's also the host of Iron Chef. And he's also on Next Food Network Star this year. Alton Brown is basically, he's a food guy, and he's a science nerd. His Twitter feed is unique. He does not respond in text. What he does is he will take he'll put his Twitter stream up on his computer, and there'll be a question from one of his fans, and he will write his response on a Post-it note, put that underneath the question, take a photograph of that, and then post the photograph on Twitter. So his entire tweet stream is photographs of Post-it note responses to Twitter questions. It is hysterical. It is totally unique. And it's very Alton Brown.
Interesting. There's a new beta company that, as people are signing on, one of their team members is actually writing something on like an index card and taking a picture and sending it to them. And they're so excited when they get it that they're posting the pictures on Facebook.
Sure.
That's awesome.
So that brings up that question. Is that question of how? How can I unleash my personality? How can I be different? How can I communicate in a way that others aren't? How can I let my sense of humor through? How can I let my personality shine? That question, how, is really powerful for figuring out your social media strategy and tactics.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, it's interesting because we've talked about instant return, magic bullet, things going viral, serendipity versus, you know, a lot of grabs for attention. And it's interesting how in advertising, you know, we were so used to that modality, one being one way, and two being kind of almost told what to do, that I'm noticing the backlash or the swing to the other end of the pendulum is making people almost state things in a really ridiculous manner, and that is, well, nobody's going to trust what anybody says anymore, and so it doesn't really matter what platform we're on, and blah, 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 and I'm like, okay, really? What are you guys noticing is showing up when you look at from the advertising perspective over to the social media perspective?
Well, one of your myths was that advertising is dead, and it clearly is not. There will always be advertising. Advertising, though, serves a different function from social media. While they're both marketing tools, they operate very differently. And social media allows for authenticity. When people see advertising, whether it's TV, radio, magazines, billboards, whatever, people know that message was bought and paid for by the company, and it's crafted by people that are trying to get a certain image across. Whereas the way you interact on social media has the potential to demonstrate your authenticity, who you really are as a person or as a company. And people can look at your tweet stream, they can look at your Facebook page, and if you're real, if you're honest on your different platforms, people can get to know who you really are, and that helps to build trust in a much more powerful way than advertising can. Andrea?
Yeah, well, I totally agree, and I think these days, you know, advertising and social media they're in such a split in terms of expense. I mean, most small business owners still, I would argue, have more time than money. I mean, really, if you really look at it, you know, they've
right.
got limited ad budgets. You're not in a position where you're going to do billboards on the side of the freeway or bus benches or any of that. And that's, you know, again, it's going old school. So, you know, if you can transition over and see the social media thing and get help if need be from so there's, you know, a wide variety of people out there who can help assist you in some of your efforts, it makes a big difference because the advertising, it's really turned into a game for the biggest players. And from an advertising standpoint, it takes so many repetitions for people to really actually make a move and to buy. And yet, if you can engage with a few people at your local level or at your problem solution level, you're going to get so much better bang for your buck than just focusing on advertising.
You just said something I'm finding really interesting. I can't believe that this thought is just now popping into my head. So we grew up with there's that knowledge of a person has to see something so many times before they're really going to pay attention to it.
Right.
I believe in advertising it was 7 times. And I think that actually goes back to brain technology of which there was a, what's the word? There was some kind of quote that came up that really took that lesson home, and that's what the first time I heard it, I thought it was stupid. The second time, you know, whatever, and the third time it was my idea.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for small businesses and solopreneurs, hello, let's just take a direct number and look at these two areas. So if it takes at least 7 times for someone to pay attention and notice to your ad, you know, your paid ad, so whether it's in a newspaper, whether it's on TV, whether it's on terrestrial radio, or maybe even internet radio, if it's going to take that for them to even pay attention to you, guess what? How many times could you have a conversation on Twitter, LinkedIn, or Facebook 7 times quicker and look at what those costs are between placing that ad and hoping people see it versus having a direct conversation with people? There you go. There's one ROI.
Sure. And that's another one of those myths that you've mentioned, that the traditional rules of marketing don't apply to social media. Yes, some of them do, and that's one of them. It still takes multiple impressions. So people need to see your tweets multiple times. They need to see your Facebook posts multiple times. Very often, they'll need to see before they even begin to engage with you. So that multiple factor still exists. Social media simply allows you to do it at a less expensive price point.
Right, and in a much more personal way, too. I mean, you know, if you think about the idea of, you know, seeing an ad is designed to match the majority of people. They're done, you know, to appeal to mass audiences. So they're cute and funny, and they try to get, you know, as many people engaged as possible. But if you're talking one-on-one with someone on a social media platform, even if you're, and this is my personal experience, I mean, when I'm on Facebook and someone sends me a note on my Facebook page, I pay attention to that because it's to me. It's not just an advertisement. It's actually somebody telling me something or a tweet, an at reply on Twitter. I mean, these are conversations I would I mean, can you imagine what it would be like? This is just a crazy hypothetical, but could you imagine what it would be like for one of these big companies to go through to their, I don't care if it's, you know, Mercedes or Doritos, but they took every single follower and sent them a personal at reply. And how crazy that would be for every single one of the people that follow that particular brand, as opposed to just, you know, shouting out tweets. Well, on a small business level, you can actually do that, at least for quite some time.
Precisely.
We won't even charge him for that idea.
I know. Can you believe that? I mean, okay, it would take some time, I admit.
Well, and you know, you bring something up in that where you talked about funny, and it's amazing how many times sometimes people feel like everything that you do in the social space has got to be funny. And I think a lot of that comes from the different memes that have been created, and the silly pictures, the animal pictures, the, you know, the cartoons and the jokes. And yes, humor does have its place. It kind of lowers a barrier, or it softens, you know, being able to discuss a topic. That's another really great myth I think would be interesting to tackle here. And that is, I've had people walk up to me and they go, I just don't have that much funny to say, and everyone seems to want funny in social media.
Well, what do you think, Don?
Funny does sell. People like to share funny. But that's not the only thing they like to share. They also like to share things that are inspirational, and they like to share things that are educational. I tell people, you know, if you're trying to figure out what makes a good tweet or a good Facebook post, shoot for one of three things. Try to either entertain, inspire, or inform. Those are the three things that people are really looking for. They want to be entertained, they want to be inspired, they want to be informed. So if humor doesn't suit what you do, that's fine. Focus more on the informing part. That's what I do. I mean, while I am somewhat funny, I'm not a humorist. Mostly what I am is educational. I am a guy who is a source of information, strategies, tactics. So that's the bulk of my tweet stream. It's informational. I occasionally tweet some humorous stuff, some of it my own, some of it funny lines from comedians and whoever else. But the bulk of what I tweet is informational, and that works really well, because when I tweet something that's informational and it's valuable, people retweet that. Andrea?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, sometimes I think people do have a perception that they've got to be witty and funny and, you know, all of that. And I think that comes just from, I think some of that comes just from getting your hands dirty and having some, just playing around with it. And sometimes, you know, funny things happen. And I mean, I can't tell you guys how many times my husband will do something ridiculous and crazy, and I go, oh my gosh, I really want to tweet that out, but I don't even know where to begin. So I can't even go back. I need a blog to just share what he just said or did. So, but sometimes funny things happen, or you can take cute pictures and stuff like that, and I think that increases your engagement. But again, to use that as an excuse as to why you can't, you know, get involved in social media, that just goes back to what we've talked about, you know, throughout the call today, which is, you know, coming up with those excuses and saying no to ourselves for why we're not going to, you know, why we're not going to get involved in social media because this, that, and the other thing. And you're right, Michelle. I think people use the humor thing as a crutch.
Well, I knew you'd be a good person to help them break through the no part. And you know, there's another one that's really common that surfaces quite a bit, and I will have people from especially the financial or the insurance industry walk up to me, and they will just start lambasting. I've even had a few try to do it while I'm giving a presentation to small business groups, and they're in for a shock when I start giving them some real answers. And that is, you know, well, it just, social media doesn't work for my industry, or we have guidelines that prevent us from using social media. We're not allowed to. And I'm like, really? And I start popping off some names of people that I know who are in those industries who use it really well and who are thriving, and they don't even know who they are. What have you guys noticed, especially around maybe people in the insurance or financial industries? They hold that out as, like Don said, an excuse to not actually find out what are ways that they can operate in that space. And while they're vacillating in that muck, there's a few of their competitors out there just cleaning it up in social media.
It's like you said, there are always ways to do it. The real issue is that they don't work the same for that industry, because there are guidelines and rules and laws in some cases. When you're talking about the financial industry, about the legal industry, the medical industry, you have to be very careful what you say. That doesn't mean you can't use social media. It just means you have to use it a little bit differently than others do it. You have to know what your guidelines are, what your restrictions are, and look for other things that you can do. There's no law that a lawyer or an investment counselor or a doctor can't use Twitter. There are some laws that say what they can and can't say, but you just need to know what those are and look for where are the opportunities. Again, it's the question, how can I use this?
Mm-hmm.
Andrea?
Yeah, and certainly in a lot of the businesses that we work in, too, people are kind of independent business owners. And, you know, most companies will have some kind of guidelines. And it's, you know, I have yet to see a company who's, absolutely no. You just have to, make sure that, you know, you tweet or communicate and add value based on, you know, general content and not necessarily maybe something that, you know, the company hasn't released or, you know, making offers and doing coupons and things that aren't, you know, approved and all of that. I mean, yeah, you always have people who, there's always, you know, a few horror stories. But again, it just goes back to taking the steps and learning what you can and can't do and not using that as an excuse.
Yeah, let's say you're a financial advisor. Well, you can't dispense financial advice, but if you see an article that has to do with personal finance, you can certainly tweet that out and say, hey, this is a great article.
Mm-hmm.
And now you are being of value to the people that follow you.
Bingo. You're finding ways to build rapport with people, which is what it just flabbergasted me that's not something that they recognize that it allows them to do. Build rapport. Yeah, because do you, Don, or do you, Andrea, really give business advice over Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn? Really?
Yeah, not in-depth business advice. No, of course not.
But they make that equation. They
right.
linked it somewhere.
Yeah, I give general tips, and they're tips that are useful for most people, not for everybody. And I don't claim to be giving consulting via Twitter or via LinkedIn or anything else. But my blog posts are ideas and they're insights. And so when I'm writing those or I'm tweeting those, that's what I'm giving people. I'm giving people ideas to work with, insights to think about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And the same is true whether you're a roofing company or you're a hair salon or you're a restaurant. There are tips you can give. There are ideas you can put in people's heads. There are insights you can give them into the industry, into their hair, into whatever that are useful and helpful. But whatever it is you do, whatever business you're in, you have some kind of expertise. Social media is your venue for putting that expertise out there and helping people while demonstrating expertise and gaining you more attention.
Well, you know, guys, I've been teasing everybody for months and months and months now that we've been working on something behind the scenes, Don, I think would be really great if we kind of shared with them a little bit about what we've been working on, because we've been paying attention to all of these questions that they ask us each month as we're sharing information on the show and about, you know, the different things that we're doing in social media. Because the thing that I notice is the bridge that's missing is people are not understanding how they can go from social media to sales for their business. That's the biggest question I see.
Well, a lot of this centers around fear. And that's part of why Andrea is so good with this, is that we've put together this webinar based on the most common mistakes that businesses make with social media and how to avoid them. So this is scheduled for Tuesday, August 28th at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So if you are still thinking, I don't want to do this because I'm afraid I'll make a mistake and I'll screw this all up, it's an understandable fear, and this webinar will help you overcome that. We'll share with you specific case studies and warnings and help you avoid the most common mistakes that are out there so that you can pursue your social media and be confident that you're doing the right things.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this too, Michelle, because I think that that's where people are usually coming from is what things, you know, what things should they avoid so that they don't get themselves and get themselves to do the exact things that they're fearing. And by extension, they're really going to learn the kind of the reverse how-tos, because everything that we talk about is going to have kind of the exact and opposite reverse of, okay, so don't do this, but do this. And so we're going to have a lot of fun with this webinar.
Well, you know, I have to say, one, I'm grateful that the two of you were so awesome as I started seeing all these, whatever we want to call them, questions, frustrations, challenges come up for people. And there's only so much we can really address on the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just really is. And sometimes, you know, it's a matter of someone just needing to be pointed in the right direction. And other times they just need to find someone to work with and help them actually craft a strategy. But a lot of times people don't even understand, you know, like what's the first thing that they really must do if they want to be successful in the social space, or, you know, how do you actually get more potential buyers to your website from using social media? And most people are only wanting to share any of that kind of knowledge in a conference or paid workshop or working with people as direct consultants. And we're actually going to be giving them a free webinar where they can learn some of this stuff.
Yeah, this is going to be a really cool webinar. I'm very excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, August 28th, 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 Central, 11 Mountain, and 10 Pacific. So I'd be curious, Don, what would you share with people would be some things that you have from your experience that they'll walk away from this free webinar learning?
Well, we're going to start with the single biggest mistake that most business people make when engaging social media, and this one idea will save you hours, days, even months of frustration, because starting out the right way makes everything so much easier.
And I would say if an hour of your time is going to save you even one mistake, much less multiple, I'm always the first one to raise my hand. I love learning from other people's mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't make your own. Learn from ours.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to write a tweet right now, so it's like I'm actually sending you guys out the link on Twitter with the hashtag so that, you know, you can sign up for the webinar. Yes, it is free. Andrea, what would you say would be one of the things that you feel like people will walk away from our webinar?
Well, there's a couple things that I'm really excited about talking about on that webinar, and that is how to get potential buyers to engage more with you and get to your website, and whether it's buy or engage with you. It's and this has to go to the mistake, what the mistake that I consider to be the most fatal mistake, and of course we'll be sharing that on the webinar, the absolute most fatal mistake, and then the kind of antidote to that, which is to do it in such a way that actually has people attracted to you and clicking a link or, you know, or tweeting you back or, you know, going to a page or something if it's in Facebook so that they can learn more. There's some very simple and strategic things that you have to know to do that smoothly and easily and have people love you and not just being unattracted to what you're sharing.
Well, yeah, everything about this webinar is going to be simple, straightforward,
mm-hmm.
or a high degree of technical expertise or marketing expertise.
mainly because we're pretty straightforward entrepreneurs. We don't have time for anything else.
No, we really don't. We don't have time for anything complicated, and I don't have, I mean, I'm not, I know you're not a tech person, Michelle. I know Don's not a tech person, so we're your average, you know, your average users, so we're not going to be coming at this from, people don't have to freak out that, oh, we're so technically smart, because we're not. We've just learned the how-tos of how to use the platforms.
Yeah, so we're going to share the mistakes that we've made and mistakes that we have seen others make, so that you don't have to make them yourself.
And since I didn't announce during the middle of the show, the radio show URL for people who are listening, let me go ahead and let me give that to you again. I did just tweet with the hashtag the link for the free webinar, so I'd love it if you'd pass that on. I'm going to also give you the link to the free webinar in here, so it's your choice. Do you want to go to the radio show blog and find it, or do you want to just write it down? Either way. So the radio show URL is www.whoismichelleprice.com. Again, whoismichelleprice.com. And you'll be able to see a link there on today's framing post of how you can go sign up for this, or you can just go straight to it. And that's www.socialmediasalesbreakthrough. So again, that's socialmediasalesbreakthrough.com. So that sales is with a plural. Yes, there's an S at the end. We've only got 2 minutes left. Do you have anything that you can say in 30 seconds?
Don't believe
them.
Well,
go ahead, Don.
Investigate them for yourself. Ask the question, how can this work?
Andrea?
Yeah. Michelle, I was just going to say, there is nothing that is more important, in my opinion, than taking advantage and laying a baseline of knowledge than getting the foundation of some of these social media platforms and using them in the right way. Because to whatever extent that you're going to use this, this is going to help you build and grow your business for years to come. This is not something that's going to go, even if some of these things actually fade away and transition to other things, you've got to have the baseline foundation of how to interact and use these things, because all of these are going to just morph and change. Just like if you never learned to use the phone or fax, you've got to have the foundation of knowledge.
Make sure you connect with us, talk with us, and we want to see you on that webinar.